for your questions, but I do know the answer to the big questions is Jesus. Jesus Christ. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12, if you'd like to read with me in the Word of God. We're very thankful for everyone that's here this morning. May God bless you for coming. I think that it's quite remarkable that Brother Fuller here reminded me that I'm of what I preached back the last time he was here, because I preached from this passage of Scripture. And I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't even know. I just remember what I preached the day Sister Janie came and became Sister Janie. And then when he said that, all of a sudden I thought, I'm going to preach from that same Scripture again. But I think somehow that's a confirmation to me, because, amen, verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And ye are come, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." By the way, I preached on the church of the firstborn that day. Verse 24 says, "And to Jesus, glory." Yeah, oh, I love this, all this other stuff, what we come unto, but Mount Zion, an innumerable company of angels, general assembly and church of the firstborn, and all of that, and the judge. Now, I love him. I hope you understand, but there's a whole lot of difference between standing before the judge and standing before him with Jesus. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now you have, now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven." I want to preach this morning on the blood has something to say. The blood has something to say. Where it says, "The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Earlier this week, I was reading a commentary from the book of Genesis by A.W. Pink. And he went through the first seven times that the word blood was used in the Bible to show that there was great significance in the teaching of it. He said the first time that blood was used in the Bible was when in Genesis chapter 4, the blood of Abel cried out from the earth. And he said, we learn from that, that the blood speaks. The blood has something to say. Now, I realize that there are people nowadays that are trying to belittle the power of salvation through Jesus Christ. Brother Doyle gave me an article that was in the paper last Sunday, I believe it was. And it showed that in the Presbyterian circles, that 36% of members disagreed or strongly disagreed with the statement, only followers of Jesus Christ can be saved. I read on, and that's shocking right there in and of itself. In a 2008 report by Lifeway, the publishing and research arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, found that 75% of Protestants who hold evangelical beliefs strongly disagreed with the statement, if a person is sincerely seeking God, he or she can obtain eternal life through religions other than Christianity. Well, I'll have to say to you, I am a part of that number that believes that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And I believe that in all reality, amen, that if we refuse that belief, the blood will rise up and speak against us, because this right here is almost a liberal question in and of itself. For the question was about followers of Jesus. You have to realize that a lot of people in this world feel as though they're following Jesus just because they think he was a good teacher or a good man or a good example. I'm telling you, Jesus was not just a good teacher. He was the Word that became flesh. Amen. Jesus Christ was not just a good man. He was the God-man, for he was the Son of God, amen, that came into this world. He was not just a good example. He was sinless and pure. Amen. I'm telling you right now, he was not just someone that came into this world to show us how to live. He was the one that came into this world to rescue our souls from sin. For you see, someone can say that they are a follower of Jesus and just try to reform their lives by memorizing the Beatitudes and so on, trying to live certain things. And I'll tell you what, there isn't anybody can live the Beatitudes unless they're born again. You can't do it. You can't love your enemies. You cannot forgive people unless Jesus moves in your heart and gives you the power to do that by himself. But this is the fact. We are living in a religious world that does not want to exalt Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. And I'm telling you right now that there is only one way, and it is through Jesus Christ. And the blood has something to say about this subject right here. Amen. For it says here, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now I love Abel and his example in the Word of God. Earlier in Hebrews, we understand that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And so he was an example of faith unto us all. We can follow in the footsteps of Abel, amen, and by faith offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. But take that perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the world to save us and deliver us from our sins. Abel knew that it was only by the blood of a sacrifice that he could be delivered from his own sins. Amen. In the first pages of Genesis, amen, the first time that there was blood shed was right after that Adam and Eve sinned, and blood had to be shed to clothe their nakedness. Amen. And the only way that the nakedness of the shame of our sin, amen, can be covered is if the blood is shed and we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Abel and Cain both knew this, that sacrifice was the atonement or the covering for people's nakedness, where sin exposes them, amen, to this world and exposes them even to the wrath of God. Cain and Abel both knew this. And Abel raised a flock of sheep and took the best of his herd and slew that lamb and placed it there as an offering by faith and was accepted unto God. Cain could have done this as well, but went in his own way. That's a whole other message. I'm telling you, I still want to walk in the blood-bought way. That's the only way to heaven. It's signified in the first pages of the book. Amen. And in heaven, the church of the firstborn is still rejoicing because of the blood that was shed for our salvation, and saying, "Thou hast redeemed us from every kindred and tribe and nation by thy blood." Hallelujah. I say to you here this morning, we'll never get over what Jesus did upon the cross. Amen. But although Abel was an example to us of the faith that we should follow, but he is also a type of Jesus Christ, for he is the first shepherd that is seen in the Word of God. Amen. He offered an acceptable sacrifice unto God and was declared righteous himself. Amen. He also was opposed by his brother in jealousy and slew in violence. And then in that violent slaying, his blood spoke, his blood cried out from the ground. I realize it was a cry of vengeance, but we also see in this that Jesus Christ, amen, is the great shepherd, the good shepherd. I realize he was the first shepherd, but Jesus Christ is first above and beyond all shepherds. He's the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. Can you praise him here today? Glory to God. Amen. Oh, he's not only that good shepherd. Amen. He offered an acceptable sacrifice, not out of his own flock, but of himself, and was declared righteous by God when he raised him from the dead. I realize the Jews, his brothers, slew him violently and proclaimed that he was worthy of death. Amen. And said that he blasphemed because he claimed to be the Son of God. But God, the great judge of the universe, justified him when he came out of the grave on the third day and declared him to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness, the Bible says. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. And so he is a type. Amen. But here in Hebrews, it says that we are not only come to Mount Zion and the church and the judge, we are come to the blood. When here today, I've got to bring every one of you here to the blood. We've got to hear what the blood has to say. Amen. If the blood was preaching and is preaching, amen, if these people that took this survey could hear, the blood would say there's only one way to heaven, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. Can I tell you, these people are saying the sacrifice of Jesus Christ means absolutely nothing. I'll tell you what, we were so rotten in our sins, so deserving of hell, so wicked in our nature, that God could not overlook our sins in order for us to be saved. Amen. His own Son had to come into this world, not just to live a good example, but to die upon an old rugged cross. Amen. And deliver us from the wickedness of our own nature and our own sins. Oh, glory to God. And so the blood speaks. Amen. It was the sound of the new covenant. Amen. In the old covenant, they gathered around Mount Sinai. And there was thunderings and lightnings and trumpets. And it was such a noisome event that it caused fear and dread even in that holy man Moses' heart. He said, "I did fear and exceedingly quaked." You think about how much in the presence of God that man had been. And yet, the fearfulness, the voice that spoke and shook the ground. Oh, great Lord. Amen. It made him quake. Amen. It made him quake, and that's the way that the law always does. Let me tell you, the law was given so we'd see how sinful we are, how unable we are, how completely and totally wretched we are. The law was given to cause us to shake and tremble. The worst thing that happens today, whether it be in a religious realm or in society's realm, is when men no longer quake and fear sin. Sin built hell. Sin built every jail and every prison. Sin broke every heart. Sin caused every death. Sin caused every sickness. And how in the world can we say it's just a small sin? Do you realize how small in comparison to the murder and the terrorism and the child abuse that goes on today? How small and insignificant taking that fruit and taking a bite is in comparison. But that one small sin opened up this world of sin. Great Lord in heaven. Amen. Can I tell you right now, sin is a horrible thing. And everything in hell right now is not there because God's being too mean. No, it's because sin, amen, leads to that. That every flame of fire, every cry for water, every weeping and crying and wailing, amen, is deserving of that because sin is so horrible. Sin is so terrible. And yet God loved us so much, He sent His only begotten Son into this world. We do not just come to Mount Zion that shakes and trembles and shakes the earth. Amen. And causes even Moses to fear and tremble in his own spirit. But we are come to Mount Zion. Amen. Not just the judge, but Jesus. Hallelujah. Not just the condemnation, but the way of justification, which is the voice of the blood. Amen. Because there was a voice of a sound that shook the ground. Amen. There was the voice of trumpets and thunder from Mount Zion. But what is the voice of the new covenant? It is the voice of the blood that cries out that Jesus, amen, saves. It is not the voice of thunder and earthquake that says condemnation, but it is the voice of the blood, amen, that says forgiveness. Forgiveness is purchased. Forgiveness is given. Repent and believe and be saved. All the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a voice of instruction about the wickedness of sin. It cries out to us of how horrible sin is. But it's a voice of intercession to the Father, the judge. It says, forgive them. Hallelujah. It is the voice that identifies and is the same as Jesus. Notice what it says. The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. It's not just the blood that speaketh, that's Jesus that cries out. It's the identification. Oh yes, there's a voice that shook the ground on Sinai. But this voice of the blood's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And not only does it speak. Amen. I want you to notice it did not say the blood spoke. It did not say, amen, that at one time the blood spoke and said, be forgiven. Amen. No, it says in a continuing sense, the blood speaketh. And I tell you right here today, the blood is still effective. I realize some people say, it's outdated. That's an old message. We don't need to hear it in this space age, this time, amen, of computers and technology. Cell phones. We've outgrown the blood. Let me tell you, the blood's still speaking today. Amen. It's the only way that somebody's going to be forgiven of their sins and delivered from their unrighteousness. Oh, the blood still speaks. And the Bible says If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just almost all, but all sin. You walk in the light that God gives you, there's a continual cleansing. Hallelujah, there's an everyday cleansing. Woo, glory be to Jesus. Amen. He's still speaking to the Father. And then the Bible says it's better than Abel. Amen. Better in the sense of what Abel's blood did. Now we do see that the blood speaks from Genesis chapter 4. But it's better than Abel, what Jesus did. Because Abel's blood cried out conviction. It cried out that there's been a crime. Amen. But Jesus' blood cries out there can be conversion. There can be deliverance from that old life. There was a cry of condemnation. There was a cry of great wickedness. But this is a cry of justification and forgiveness. There's a cry of judgment. Amen. For Cain deserved judgment. But this is a cry of forgiveness. Oh, Father, forgive them. Was not just something that Jesus said from the cross. It's something his blood continually says. Even right now. It was a cry of guilt. He's guilty. He's stained. He's done wickedness. This is a cry of cleansing. This is a cry of deliverance from that old stain. But this is not just a cry that's better because of what Abel's blood was crying out. But it's better than even Abel's best. For his blood was shed because he was persecuted. Amen. His blood was shed because of his faith. Because he believed. He sealed his testimony of faith in his own blood that was shed there. Amen. By sacrifice. I tell you, there was a greater faith in Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. Because even though he could deliver himself from the pain and the suffering and the sorrow there, he believed his Father that this was best. And so he obeyed. Amen. There was a righteousness declared. Amen. By this man's blood being shed, Abel died because he was righteous. I'll tell you, Jesus righteously died. I'll tell you, his blood declares everybody righteous. Not just himself, but all that would believe upon his holy and glorious name. It was a declaration of self-sacrifice. But oh, the sacrifice that Jesus gave is above and beyond what we could ever comprehend. Just him leaving heaven and becoming a man, he gave up more treasures than we will ever know until we gather around that throne. And so we are brought to this blood. And I must leave you with this caution, my friend. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Amen. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. In other words, if they escape not who disobeyed Moses and that great earthquake of a shaking, how much more shall they not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? I realize, he said, that voice shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth only, but the heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I thank God for the blood, because it's still speaking for all of us here today. But my soul has a great burden for some of you here this morning that are really not right with God. The blood has not cleansed your soul. You have sin in your life that is yet unatoned for. You may be trying to turn over a new leaf. You may be trying to live like Jesus said to live. You may be satisfied in just being a good neighbor.
neighbor, a good person in your community. But on judgment day, that's not going to be enough, my friend. Just because I like you, and just because you're a member of the church, it doesn't matter if it's this church or any other church that there is. Membership does not save somebody. It is only the blood that testifies of someone truly being cleansed of their iniquity and their sin. And so I must preach to you with a burden on my spirit and soul. Amen. For there is one that speaks and it cries forgiveness today. But if you reject, there will be a cry of judgment one day, of condemnation. Some say, well, I just can't live a Christian life. Amen. How many here that are even Christians can live a Christian life without the grace of God? There's nobody here, the holiest and best person you've ever seen, and not live a Christian life by willpower. It takes the new birth. It takes the speaking blood of Jesus being applied to their hearts and their lives. And so here I am. Amen. I'm bringing you not to, amen, Mount Zion, or Mount Sinai rather, but to Mount Zion. Amen. I'm bringing you to the blood of the new covenant. I'm bringing you to the way of salvation. I'm bringing you to Jesus Christ. And my question is not, what will you do with the church? Not what will you do with your life, but what will you do with Jesus? The only way. Oh, great Lord. Amen. Can I tell you, God could hear Abel's blood crying from the ground. Cain couldn't hear it. I want to ask you, does it not seem here that through the gospel you're supposed to understand that blood speaking to you through what I'm preaching? Through what the writer of Hebrews was saying, you're supposed to hear what the blood of Jesus is saying. But he also made it very evident. One day, everybody's going to hear. Just like that voice from Sion, amen, shook the grounds. This voice that cries forgiveness is going to shake the heavens and the earth. Oh, and the guilty sinner that one day hears the tormenting cry of not forgive like it is in this gospel dispensation, but condemnation. Oh, what great horrors is going to be. If Moses shook and trembled at the base of Mount Sinai, what is it going to be on that day when the heavens and the earth shake? Amen. And people stand before him whose countenance is so bright and so glorious that the heavens and the earth flee away at the very unveiling of his countenance. Oh, of his holiness, of his power. People stand there with no excuse. None whatsoever. I love you. Amen. If your house was burning down and I came in and said, hey, everything's going to be all right, you would say, are you crazy? Amen. You must not care. My house is burning down. My children are in here. Listen, there's a eternal hellfire ahead for some people. Oh, God. And the only way out is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, could we all stand here this morning? Oh, Father in heaven. Oh, Father in heaven, I come to you. And oh, my soul doth cry out to you to grant people repentance and faith this morning, where that they might pray and believe and be saved. Oh God, if they must tremble at the foot of Sinai for a moment, let them come and hear the sweet comforting voice of your forgiven. Oh, glory to God. Please move in this morning service. Deliver people from sin. Let them come to Christ and believe in Jesus' name. Amen. I need a praying church right now. Oh, God. Oh, God. If you're here today lost, oh, our hearts love you. Oh, and we want you to be saved. I'm asking you, would you come to this altar and pray? Would you come to this altar and seek the Lord? Oh, there is an eternity. There's a voice of forgiveness right now, but there's a voice of judgment coming. Oh, yes, there is. If you're here today lost, if you're not right with God, I'm asking you to come to this altar. Oh, you say, Brother Lloyd, are you saying I'm not a good person? Oh, listen. I'm just saying there's none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. Nobody's good enough to go to heaven without the blood of Jesus. Would you come to this altar right now? Would you pray right now? Would you seek the Lord right now? Oh, church, would you pray? Church, would you seek the Lord? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Would you come to this altar? The only way for someone to be right with God is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, God bless. Move and help Mary, Lord. Somebody else come right now. Oh, yes, I need to have my heart washed in the blood. I've got sin in my life. Oh, and I need to pray. Would you come? Would you come? Church, would you pray just a little bit more? We love you here today. Oh, would you come? Sinner friend, would you pray? Would you pray? Obey the Lord. Oh. He shook the earth. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth one day. Would you come and pray? Come on. If you're not saved, come. We got visitors here today. I don't know some of you if you're saved or if you're not. Oh, this may be a new place, but you come and be with us. I'll never forget that Sunday morning I was preaching up here on the Church of the Firstborn, and people was a-worshiping. And Sister Janie came up and said, I want to join y'all. I said, well, you get in this church by praying through and being born again right here at this altar. And she prayed through and been worshiping God ever since. Hey, listen, we want you to be saved. We want you to go to heaven. Oh, there's a hell that's so horrible. I can't describe it. But there's a salvation so wonderful. I can't describe it either. Would you come and pray? Oh, would you come and pray? While heads are bowed, I just want to ask you, say, Brother, I'm a little intimidated coming up there, but I do want to pray and be saved. Would you just raise your hand? Would you just raise your hand? If you're worshiping, I can tell that. But if you say, I just want to, God bless you. I appreciate that, sir. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Hey, I want to be saved. I want to get right. I want to be right with God. I want to be right with God. There may be others. I'd like for the church to come and pray right now. If you raised your hand, come with us. Come with us. You don't have to come alone. Amen. Come on. If you would. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Sinner friend, you can come with us. I know you want to be saved. Oh, God.
glory to God. Oh, don't leave lost.
That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It's the blood that Jesus shed for that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the that gives me strength from day to day.